Karabos and today's daf is Shabbos daf Memhei. We are holding Mamish on the top, on the first line on Shabbos daf Memhei. We have been talking about, we've been discussing Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Yehuda in terms of whether you accept a very narrow application of Muktzah or a very broad application of Muktzah. Again, Rabbi Shimon holds that only a few things are considered Muktzah. We're going to talk about what those things are today, some more of those things. Rabbi Yehuda holds no, that anything that was not expressly or logically, you know, able to be used on Shabbos, set aside to be used on Shabbos, is going to be Muktzah. And the last thing we had said was that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says, and on top of him, Amud Aleph, Hachi Nami Mistavra, the Rav, Rabbi Yehuda Sfirli. It makes a lot of sense that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rav, because Rav had said, Manicha Ner al Gabi Dekel B'Shabbos, you can put a lamp on top of a palm tree on Shabbos. Now, obviously, there's no concern here that you're going to burn it. It must be either hanging or on an outstretched branch, or obviously this, you know, we're not concerned that you're going to actually set the tree on fire, but you can put a lamp on top of a palm tree on Shabbos. Ve'imanichan ner agabi dekel b'yontif, but you can't do that on Yontif. So the Gemara, what's the problem here? Well, again, obviously you're not doing this on Shabbos. Rashi explains you're doing that on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif. And Rashi says, the lakel amechash l'kesheyichabe sheyishlake minei. We're not concerned that when it goes out, you may take it off. And again, you know, as we pointed out, Rabbi Yehuda holds that if something's muktzah when Shabbos comes in, or Yontif comes in, benesh mashos, then it's muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. So on Shabbos, you know, we're not concerned that you're going to move this lamp after it goes out. But we are concerned about Yontif. Why? Rashi writes, v'shachal v'manachle, because you're going to take it. Right, since you're allowed to use fire for certain purposes on Yontif, we're concerned that you may take the lamp and move it. And the concern there, but again, what's the problem, right, if it's mutter on Yontif? So, if for the same reason you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos or Yontif, Chazal, where it goes there, the Gemara says in Beitza that you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos or Yontif because you may come to take off a branch. You may forget, etc., and that taking off a branch is a malach of kotzer. So the same concern over here. We're concerned that if you have a lamp, so you're going to, if you move it after it goes out, or even while it's burning, I guess, on Yontif, you may end up breaking a branch. So there's no concern on Shabbos because you're not going to move it because, you know, there's nothing you can do with it. But on Yontif, right, where you're allowed to use the fire, so then we are concerned you can't hang it from a palm tree. So Gemara says, "Yeah, special on I understand the Rav Rabbi Yehuda Sfirlei that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Dishoni." That's why he has a difference between Shabbos and Yontif, between Shabbos and Yontif, because obviously something is muktzah on Shabbos, it's not muktzah on Yontif. Ella I Amris Rabbi Shimon Sfirlei, but if you're telling me that he holds like Rabbi Shimon, so Mali Shabbos Mali Yontif. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? Regardless, it's not muktzah. Yes, you're allowed to use you're allowed to use the fire on Yontif. You're not allowed to use the fire on Shabbos, but the item itself is not muktzah. You can move it. So why shouldn't we be concerned that you'll come to break off a branch? So the Gemara says. So that seems to imply, that seems to prove that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara asks on that, or not on that example, but in general, Rav, Rabbi Yehuda, Sfirlei. Wait a second, does Rav really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? They asked Rav the following question. Are you allowed to move a Chanukah menorah on Shabbos? After Rashi writes, after the flames have gone out, right, after the thing is, after Achashir Kava, Rashi says, because of these Chavri. The Chavri were a group of people, I guess, I don't know if it was a nation, but it was a group of Chavra, no pun intended, in Persia. And they used to mess around with the Jews, and one of their rules were, as we pointed out before, right, we said in the Gemara about Chanukah that if you have some sort of sakana, so you should light it inside. So the same thing is true here, that these people would go around, you know, and either beat up or seriously harm somebody who lit candles during their holiday. As Rashi says, Biyom Chagam, when there was some sort of holiday, you're not allowed to light candles outside unless it was in the, you know, base of Avodah Zarah. So they asked Rav, are you allowed to move this Chanukiah that's already gone out on Shabbos so that they don't see that you lit candles outside? And he said to them, Shop your dover. It's mutter. So that apparently you see that it's not mukzah, so you must not hold the mukzah. So the Gemara answer is no. Shas al dechak shiny. No, it was a type of emergency situation, kind of like a bad shas al dechak. What are you going to do? You're stuck. You're between a rock and a hard place. So you have to move it. And now, obviously, I guess we'll just mention that now. Obviously, it's not a life-threatening situation because anything is mutter. And if it comes to nefajos, so obviously mukta, which is a darabana, it's not going to stand in the way of this, sakana nefajos. It's a danger. It's a sakana, but it's not a life sakana. So look at that. The amar layer of kana vara ashi larav. And the Gemara says, this is exactly Rav Kana and Ravashi asked this question to Rav, is this the halacha? And they said to him, Kedayu, Rabbi Shimon, lismoch alav b'shas adchak. You can always rely on Rabbi Shimon in an emergency situation, implying that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Shimon is a worthy opponent, shall we say. Now, how does that work? Right? If halacha is like one guy, how could you possibly go like the other guy? So this is a general klal in Psak, that sometimes, not always, obviously, but sometimes, the other opinion is valid in certain circumstances, right? If you really need to, you can be somebody on this, right? You ever ask a shayla and get that response? Well, you really shouldn't do that, but if fish has to talk, so you have this kula and you can rely on this, and maybe you can rely on this. So certain shitas we can't rely on whatsoever, but certain shitas, like Rabbi Shimon here, right? Kedai the lismachor Rabbi Shimon b'shas adchak. You can rely on him in general, not in general in an emergency situation. Okay. Ba'omer Rish Lagish Mer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shlagish asked the following question of Rabbi Yochanan. What is right? Mechitim shezarim bekarka ubeitzim shetachas tarigoles ma'u. So we're going to talk about now, what is Rabbi Shimon's Shita exactly? This is what we're going to discuss. So Reish Lakish has Rabbi Yochanan. If you put grains into the ground, and you have an egg that you put underneath a chicken, right, the grain in the ground presumably to grow, the egg under the chicken presumably to incubate and hatch. Ki lesle Rabbi Shimon mukta, when you say that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of most categories of mukta, is that hecha delo dechiyah v'yadayim? Is that only where someone has not been docha the item with his hands, but he's not actively done something to make the item mukta? Right? You put grain in the ground, obviously you're not going to eat it. Right? That's physically and actively setting it aside and making it mukta. Right? So does Rabbi Shimon hold that that's mukta? But hecha de dechir b'yadayim is le mukta? But if you went ahead and actively made it mukta, by some sort of action that you did, does that Rabbi Shimon agree that it will be mukta? Odil maloshna, or maybe it doesn't matter. No, a piece of grain, you could eat. An egg, you could eat. But it doesn't matter that you actively did something that will seem to indicate that you don't want to use it on Shabbos. So the question is, Amalei ein mukta Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon has no mukta. Ela shevin shebiner b'shah shum dolek. The only mukta that Rabbi Shimon has, and we're going to see it's not obviously exactly true, but the only Shimon, at this point, Rabbi Yochanan said back to Reish Lakish, the only mukta that Rabbi Shimon holds like is oil in a lamp at the time when it's lighting. Hold the hooks of the mitzvasa, and the girsa should be here, the hooks of the isura, since it has two aspects, not tarti the reyesa, as it would be, if you're familiar with that phrase, but it has two mukta aspects. It's mukta because it's been used for a mitzvah, i.e. candles light Neres Shabbos. And it's also mukta l'yisuro, but it's also being used for an iser, right? You can't burn anything on Shabbos. So the lamp is doubly mukta, and therefore Rabbi Shimon holds that if you have two factors, then it will in fact be mukta. This Gemara says, one second, the less than hooks on the mitzvah, so does Rabbi Shimon not hold that something is mukta just because it's been used for a mitzvah? Right? Why do you need two factors? It should be only one factor. Vatanya, within the Braisa, Sikhacha, Kehilchasa, this already we had earlier, that if you put up Schach, Vitra, and you decorate it, Bekramim, Sedinim, Mitzuyarim, you have this beautiful cloth. Anyway, we decorate our sukkahs. So if you decorate your sukkah with Talabah, you hang from it Egozim, nuts, Afarsikim, peaches, I guess. Is that peaches? Yeah, it must be peaches. That's the common word nowadays. Okay, Shkedim, Rimonim, Arpar Kalei Shalanovim, You have these different type of nuts, pomegranates, a cluster of grapes, atar shel shibolim. You have barley grain, yenos, shmonim, saltos, wine, oil, flowers. So also the stopik behem adbats is yomtif. You're not allowed to use them until after yomtif, not until after the first yomtif, but until after the last yomtif, shmini atzeres. It must be shmini atzeres. Unless it's the Shana Rabba. Okay, I'm not sure. You're not allowed to use it until after Yotif. Mistam until the Shmina, after Shmina Tzeres. Then Hisna Lehem, but if you made it tonight, if you said, well, I'm putting this up there in a condition that I can take it down on Tuesday, I'm going to Cholamoid, the second day Cholamoid, said I call it for tonight, then everything works out because it's everything according to what you stipulated. Kumari says, one second, we might. So that would seem to imply, I mean, that price seems to say that if it's up there for a mitzvah, right, to make the sukkah, so then you're not allowed to touch it. It's muktzah. Muktzah machmas mitzvah. So Gemara says, we remind Rabbi Shimon, how do you know that Brisa is Rabbi Shimon? So I'll prove it to you. Did Tony, like we learned in a Brisa, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chia bar Yosef, Kameid Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chia bar Yosef taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan, ain't notlan eitzim in a sukkah. You can't take eitzim, trees, from a sukkah beyantif. That's part of the walls of the sukkah beyantif. Element of Samachla, unless it's these trees that are hanging on the side, meaning you have some branches that are propped up on the side of the wall, so then that's mutter to move. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. It is mutter for you to move, to take some of these eitzim from the sukkah itself. V'shavim b'suk, so that's only on Pesach and Shavuos. Now, we're not, that's, again, Rashi explains that, we're not talking about sukkahs there, so the sukkah that you made is not for a mitzvah, right? Pesach, obviously, Pesach and Shavuos don't have the mitzvah, right? You made a sukkah just to hang out outside. But it was Shavim, but they both agree, Rabbi Shimon and Tanakama agree, besukkahs, hachag, right? If you, the sukkah of the chag, bechag, on sukkahs, shehi asura, that you're not allowed to take wood from that. But if you made it tonight, then everything is fine. So, one second. So, that seems to imply that if it's wood that's used to make a sukkah, which is a mitzvah, so it's muktzah machmas mitzvah. Why are you telling me that Rabbi Shimon needs muktzah machmas mitzvah and muktzah machmas iser? So, Gemara says, one second. You told me, we all started with the phrase, well, what did Rabbi Yochanan respond to Reish Lakish when he asked him about Rabbi Shimon's, right? We started with all questions. Does Rabbi Shimon hold with that, you know, if you put an egg underneath a chicken, presumably to incubate, or you planted grain in the ground, so does he hold that that's muksa because you did something actively to make it muksa, or does he hold that that's not, even not, that is even muksa? So what did Rabbi Yochanan say back to him? He said, "Ein muksa Rabbi Shimon el shemesh v'nei Rabbi Shasu shudolik." There's only one case of muksa kon Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara answers, no. What he meant was, Ke'in Shevener Kaminim. Anything that's like oil in a lamp when it's lighting. And hold, Huktzah L'mitzvasa, Huktzah L'yisura. Since it's Muktzah for its mitzvah, it is also Muktzah for the Isser. And therefore, you only need one of that. Then he does hold of that concept of muktzah machmas iser. Okay, just to clarify a couple of things over here, Rashi says, where is that? Ke'ein shemen kaminan v'lo mishum iser ela mishum mitzvah. Meaning, he does hold of this muktzah machmas mitzvah thing. Hold muktzah mitzvah b'shem. What am I looking for? I'm looking for it. Right. The kol zman iser delay kaso. As long as it is burning. So the comparable case over there is by the sukkah. Right. Well, you have Shabbos candles, so they burn for however long, and so the oil is muktzah while it burns. So the sukkah, however, obviously is in use all 7 days. That's why it's muktzah the entire way. Another thing to clarify is that when you're this grain, you would obviously presumably take it out of the ground in a way that's not violating any of the malachas of Shabbos. It must be in an open hole, right? Because otherwise, if you had to dig to get the grain, that would be choresh or whatever other malachas you might violate. And one more thing I wanted to clarify. Hold on. Yeah, okay. Fine, Vaiter, let's go back. It's Marnami, it was also said, just to kind of reiterate this whole thing, I'm Rabbi Chia bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, in Muktzah Rabbi Shimon, Ela Ke'in Shemen Shebener, Vashashu Dolik, right? Rabbi Shimon holds that there's the only Muktzah concept, and we'll see there's a little bit more, but the only Muktzah concept is anything similar to oil in a lamp at the time when it's lit. Oh, I know what I want to clarify. And again, the clarification in terms of the oil in the lamp. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow you to take the oil from the lamp. He's talking about the oil that's dripping out of the lamp. Because to take the oil out of the lamp, we said before, that would be perhaps kibui. So we're talking about the oil that's dripping out of the lamp. Okay. Anyway, fine. Hold the hooktzah l'mitzvah, so hooktzah l'isuro, since it's muktzah for machmas mitzvah, that's Rabbi Shimon's holds. He holds that there is a concept of muktzah machmas mitzvah. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Ein muktzah l'Rabbi Shimon, ela grogros v'tzimukim bilvad. Now, this is another type of muktzah that Rabbi Shimon holds like. That there is nothing, there's no food stuffs that are muktzah, except for grogros are dried figs, and tzimukim are raisins. That's, again, we use that normal, it's a Hebrew word. That's a Gemara I was going to ask, but umidiyachrini lo, and nothing else, just to explain, these dried figs and raisins are set out to dry. That you're putting them on either your roof or your porch or whatever it is to dry, and they're not going to be dried out completely until Shabbos is over. So you have set them out there to kind of like to turn into something else, and the process is not complete yet. So that, in fact, is going to be muktzah, because you're not going to eat them until they are obviously changed. So Gemara says, "Umidi achrini lo, nothing else is muktzah." V'atanya, one second, we learned in a brisa, "Ohayo ocho b'teinim." You were eating figs, v'hosir, v'halan l'gag. Let's say you left over some figs, and then you went up to the roof, lasos men grogros, and you wanted to then make them dried out figs. Right, barnavim, let's say you were eating grapes, v'hosir, and you had some leftovers, v'halan l'gag, lasos men zimukim, and then you brought them up to the roof to make them raisins. Lo yochal ad sheyazmin, but you can't eat them until you say that you dafka want to use this and eat them on Shabbos, right? Let's say this is Erev Shabbos. So unless you say that, when you put them on the roof, that I'm going to eat this on Shabbos, you have to do some sort of, I guess, verbal declaration. Let's see if Rashi says it has to be verbal. In the stomach, it has to be verbal. You have to declare that this is what you're going to. You're going to use on Shabbos. V'chena to Omer, and so too be'afar zikim v'chavushim, so too by peaches and chavushim. Rashi writes is quince, which I assume is quince, which I don't know what it is actually. That was always a word on the brachas B in elementary school, and I've still to this day, I don't think I've ever seen a quince, but I assume that's what that is. Type of fruit. V'shar kol minei peros, and all other types of fruits. Right? It's not only limited to figs and raisins and grapes, but it's any type of fruit that you're going to go and dry out on the roof. So that seems to apply to Rabbi Shimon holds of other fruit as well. So Gemara says, "Money, who is this brisa? Elim Rabbi Yehuda. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, so uma hecha dalo dechia beadayim islam motza." One second here, you did not actually right. Rabbi Yehuda holds that in a scenario where you didn't actively set something aside, it's still motza. Certainly, if you put figs and grapes on a roof to dry out, right? That's you did some sort of active action to show that you don't want them on Shabbos. So certainly, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold at their muktzah. Elalav Rabbi Shimoni, it must be Rabbi Shimon. You see that Rabbi Shimon holds that it's not only grapes and figs; it's all these other fruits. So Gemara says, "Olam really Rabbi Yehuda? Really, it's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. No, but this price over here." That is Rabbi Yehuda. Va'ochel itzrichalei, and it needs to teach me about food, because halkadai dechamina. You might have thought came into ka'achel ve'also lowly boy hazmana. And since you're going on and you're eating these food, right? Since the guy was eating them already, right? What's the case? He was eating the grapes or eating the figs. He had some leftover. He took the leftovers up to the roof. Since you're already eating it, it might be that that's not actually muktzah. So kamash malan came into halal lagag. Since you bring them up to the roof, asuche ledaite, you kind of take your mind off them, minayu, from them, you take your mind off them, and then therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they are moksa. So that price does not contradict Rabbi Shimon. So just to clarify, so that is a moksa machmas. Now that is moksa because it is unfit for use on Shabbos. That again, just according to Rabbi Shimon, now you see that Rabbi Shimon is already starting to expand his view of moksa. It is totally according to Rabbi Shimon that those two foods, specifically figs and grapes that are drying, is already unfit for use, right? I guess in the middle of the drying process. I guess there's no reason you would ever eat them in the middle of the drying process. I'm not sure. But lamaisa, they are not, they're not ready to be eaten on Shabbos, when Shabbos comes in. And therefore, they are mukta the entire Shabbos, assuming, right, you didn't assume that the process would finish on Shabbos, right? If, I think it's Rashi who says that, forget already. I'm not going to look for it now, but obviously, if you assume the process would finish halfway through Shabbos, so that's no different than, let's say, putting a cholent on the fire and, you know, eating it halfway through Shabbos, right? Because, again, the malacha was started Erev Shabbos, and then Dafka Rabbi Shimon would allow you to do that. But assuming that it would take more than 25 hours to dry out, so that Rabbi Shimon would agree that is Moksa. Okay, Boyer Minei Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe Merebbe. Rebbe's son, Rabbi Shimon, this is not Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but Rebbe's son, Rabbi Shimon, asked him the following question. Patili Tamro. What about dates that are not ripe? Rashi writes, Tamarim Shemniklata Niklotim Kodim Bishulam. Dates that are picked before they're fully ripe. The kumzan was on basalim, you're going to put them into a basket. Sha'osim ululavim, that are made from palm, I guess, palm branches. Vehin nisbashos meileim, and they kind of get ripe in the basket. Ma'u lechomen kodim bishulam. Are you allowed to eat them before they get ripe? Mi modevahem de muktzosin, kegrogos, and simukim olav. Does Rabbi Shimon hold that these unripe dates that are ripening in a basket, are they muktza like dried figs and raisins or not? So the Rabbi Shimon l'mal. So Malay ain't muktza Rabbi Shimon el grogos v'tzimukim b'olav. No, he only holds grapes and figs that are drying out. The Rabbi less than muktza. One second, does Rabbi not hold of muktza? Rabbi holds of Rabbi Shimon. By the time we learned like in the Mishnah, ain't mashkin v'shochtin es hamidbarios, avol mashkin v'shochtin es habaisos. Basically, what they would do before they would shecht an animal is they would give it a drink. Last Supper. That basically, when an animal bends its neck down to drink something, so it's obviously much more not sedated, but it's subdued, and it's kind of not anticipating. It's also not moving around. So mashkin v'shochtin means they would give to drink and then they would shecht. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed. There are two types of animals, and we're going to discuss exactly what they are. Midbarios literally translate as animals that are native to the desert, and bisos are ones animals that are in the house. But the distinction here is simply between domesticated and wild. But you'll see it's not exactly that. That's not exactly the distinction. The Gemara will already discuss that, what exactly that refers to. But basically, you're not allowed to shecht, let's say, these quote-unquote wild animals on Yom Tov, obviously not on Shabbos, right? But you are allowed to shecht these the animals that are domesticated, let's say, you know, a cow that you have in your backyard or in your field or whatever, again, because of muktzah, because they are not, you never ever thought that you would, this deer that showed up in your backyard, right, obviously you didn't think it was going to be there, it's not considered ready, mechin liyantiv, and then therefore it's muktzah. Vitanya will end the rice, Elohim barios, what is a wild animal, quote unquote, in this scenario? Kol shiyotzos b'pesach v'nechnosos b'reviyah. Any animal that leaves your property at Pesach time and comes back in the Revia, i.e. in the first fourth of the year, i.e. when it starts raining. Baisos, kol shiyotzos v'ros, chutz l'tchum. Baisos, domesticated animals, are animals that go out and graze outside of the tchum, outside of the immediate area. But ubos, v'lanos b'toch l'tchum. But they come back and they go to sleep every night inside whatever, I guess, gated area or whatever, I guess, the settled area that there is. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Elu ve'elu baisos. No, both of those cases are domesticated. Elu ein b'barios, therefore, what's a wild, quote-unquote, animal? Kol sheros b'afar, anybody who will go out and graze in the dirt, literally means like the unowned pastures, I guess. Ve'in nechnasos liyishuv, and doesn't come into the settled area, to the city, the village, whatever. Lo b'yomosachamim, lo b'yomosachamim. Neither during the summer or the winter, meaning those animals are muktzah. Now, if those animals are muktzah, that's right, that's obviously, Rabbi Shimon is not going to hold that animals are muktzah, animals you can shecht. Right? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's going to say that animals are muktzah. So how could Rebbe be the one who says, again, he's holding like Rabbi Yehuda, how could Rabbi be the one holding Rabbi Shimon? That's what you just said above, at the top of the Amud, Ein Mukta Rabbi Shimon, and the Grogos Vitzimukim Bildad. So Gemara gives a bunch of possible answers. Ibois Ema, Haninami Ki Grogos Vitzimukim Damyan, that these are actually like raisins and grapes. Maybe that's one answer. The animals that are the wild animals are like dried figs and raisins. So therefore, even Rabbi Shimon would be masking that they're muksa. But again, we said it's not the only thing that he holds that they're muksa. Right? Similar things to these items. And the animals that are kind of like the wild are also fall into that category. Ibai same another answer. The dvar of the Rabbi Shimon kamar lei. That Rebbe is saying according to what Rabbi Shimon would say about his own shita, but he doesn't actually hold of him. Or another answer, the Rebbe, the Rabbanan Kamar, that he's talking about the Rabbanan shita in that brisa that we quoted. Meaning he would say, according to me, lesli mutzakla. I don't hold a muksa whatsoever. I mean, he does hold a Rabbi Shimon, but l'didchu, according to you, that hold a Rabbi Yehuda, oduli mihas, you should admit to me, the heichu, the yotzos b'pesach, the chasos b'revia, that if they go out Pesach time, come back when it starts raining, the b'isos minhu, that those are domesticated. But Rabbanan would say to him, lo, the b'isos minhu, those are considered to be wild animals. Okay. Amar Rabba Bar Hanam Rabbi Yochanan. Amru Halacha Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Well, me, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Some older gentleman from Kruya asked Rabbi Yochanan. Some people say he was from Seruya. Me, Rabbi Yochanan, they asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Kina Shaltarna Golas Mahu Latiltale B'Shabbos. Chicken coop. Are you allowed to move it on Shabbos? Meaning, is that considered something that's not muktzah? So Amalei kulam also yel l'tana golden, that it's only the chicken coop is only made for chickens. So obviously it's muktzah. Right? A chicken is muktzah. Right? Live animals are muktzah on Shabbos. Can't shut the chicken on Shabbos. So if the chicken house is for the chicken, it is muktzah. So that seems to apply. Holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says nach ma'iskin on this be efroach meis. No, it's a case where there is a dead chick in the coop, and even Rabbi Shimon would agree that that is going to be muktzah. This Gemara says, "Hanu lichal manda lamar bara meimar mishmei derava damar modai Rabbi Shimon by lechaim shameishu shasurim." That only works according to the guy who says that Rabbi Shimon holds that if there's some dead animal that becomes muktzah. El lamar bara Rabbi Yosef mishmei derava the amar chalukar Rabbi Shimon afilu by lechaim shameishu shemutarim. But according to the Manda Amar, who says that Rabbi Shimon would say that a dead animal is not muktzah, so Michael Amemar, so you can't answer that, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that a dead chicken, a dead baby chick, would be muktzah. So Amar says, Achmai Skinan, what's the case over here? Rabbi Yochanan says that the chicken coop is muktzah, but isbe beitza, when there's an egg. So Gemara says, wait a minute, what does that mean? Rabbi Yochanan, mind isle muktzah, lesle nolan. The less lay muktzah, less lay nolad. Right? What's the problem with an egg in a chicken coop? Right. So this egg, as Rashi explains, and then the Hemshech the Gemara explains, it was born on Shabbos. Right. Born. That's something called nolad. Something that is created on Shabbos. You can't say that that's not muktzah, because you know if it was not if not in the world on Erev Shabbos, so certainly it's not set aside for Shabbos. So something that is not is or nolad. So that would tell me that it is muktzah. So Gemara says, one second. Rav Nachman, man disle muktzah, isle nolad. Nolad and muktzah go hand in hand. If Rabbi Shimon does not hold of muktzah, he does not hold that nolad is usher either. So Gemara answers, the isle beitzas efroach. No, so there's an egg there, but the egg is going to turn into a chick. So that is for sure muktzah, because that's totally unusable. You can't eat it. You can't give it to an animal. It has an egg. There's a shell around it. It is certainly, that's for sure muktzah, and that's why the chicken coop would be muktzah, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan doesn't necessarily hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and he can still hold like Rabbi Shimon, like we said. He also, Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halakha Rabbi Yehuda. Different opinion, that Rabbi Yochanan actually holds like Rabbi Yehuda. This is going to be a discussion in terms of what Rabbi Yochanan's shita is. So the first we said, Rabbi Yochanan, a couple of Amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Shimon. Now we're saying that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yosef says that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi Amar halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Haynu Damar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan Amru halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. That's why, meaning according to this opinion that says that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's why the original text which we had, if you remember, Rabbi Bar Chana said Amru halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Right? Rabbi Yochanan said they said that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, which is a strange formulation. You should have just said halacha Rabbi Shimon. What do you mean, Amru? So Amru, v'lei lo svirle, meaning they said, i.e. the Bnei Yeshiva, Rashi writes, the Bnei Yeshiva said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, but really Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Amar elei avayel Rabbi Yosef, atlo tizro, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda svirle. Do you not hold that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Asi, including the Rabbi Abba to Min Haifa. Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yossi went to Haifa. Rabbi Abba from Min Haifa, Vinafal Minarta al Glime, and a menorah fell on Glime, on the coat, the Rabbi Asi, of Rabbi Asi's, below Totala, and he didn't move it. So my time up, Lab Mishom, the Rabbi Asi, Talmud, the Rabbi Yochanan, Abba. Is that not because Rabbi Asi is Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda's Firalei? Is it not because Rav Asi is Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud, and if Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so certainly his Talmidim do as well. So it must be that's why he didn't move the cloak, right, the coat, when the menorah fell on top of it. So Gemara says, meaning he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is Mutza. So Amarlei, no, Minarta Kamarta, Minarta Shaini. No, you're bringing a menorah, some sort of like candelabra situation. That's different. Dam Rav Yaakov Bar Chanina, Rav Asi, Hora Reish Lakish, Betzida, Menorah Hanitelis Biyado, Biyado Achas, Mutter Lataltala, Beshte Yadov, Asr Lataltala. Reish Lakish already paskins. If you have a candelabra that is light, that you're able to move it with one hand, you can move that on Shabbos. But if you need two hands to move it, then you can't. We're going to explain the reason in a second. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and Rabbi Yochanan says, Anu ein lanu ela ner k'Rabbi Shimon. And we hold that the only heter to move a lamp is like Rabbi Shimon's shita, is meaning that it's something that what we said before is a lamp that had not been lit. Right? We said in yesterday's daf maybe a lamp that had not been lit. But if you literally have a menorah, bein nitla biyado achas, bein nitla b'shteyado, asur l'taltala. And the menorah, that whether you can lift it with one hand or two, that is asur to move it. Gemara says, "V'tam amai, what's the reason?" So Rav Rav Yosef, Tamar Tevayu, hold v'adam koveya la makom. Since a person sets it down in a specific place, a kavua place, I would imagine, if you're married or your mother's, right, they light candles in one place. It's not meant to be moved. It's meant to stay there. And therefore, that kavana makes it muksa. That Rashi's, basically that intent makes the candelabra muksa, and therefore it's not a proof that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda one of his talmidim didn't move a menorah that fell on his coat, because a menorah specifically dafka is muksa, because when you light it somewhere, so then it takes up, that's supposed to stay in its place, and it becomes muksa. Okay, shkor kravosa, we'll go weiter. This is a bit of a discussion, but mitzvah shem, we'll do on the daf mem vav tomorrow.